Hello friends, the next topic, reasons for the rise of the novel in the 18th century. Introduction. The most important gift of the 18th century to English literature are the periodical essay and the novel, neither of which had any classical precedent. Both of them were prose forms and eminently suited to the genius of 18th century Englishmen and women. The periodical essayist and the novelist were both exponents of the same sensibility and culture, and worked on the same intellectual, sentimental, and realistic plan, with the oft-urged aim of instructing the reader and the making them lead a more purposeful and virtuous life. Of these two, new literary genre of the periodical essay was a peculiar product of the environment prevailing at that time. It was born with the 18th century and died with it after enjoying a career of phenomenal popularity. The novel, on the other hand, survived valiantly the turn of the century and has since then been not only managing to live, but has been growing from strength to strength in addition to its popularity. Even today, when the current of the poetry has unhappily run into the arid vistas of cold intellectualism and clever phrase mongering, and the real drama has become a defunct as the dodo, the novel which originated in the 18th century is holding up its head as a dominant literary genre. It was immediately after 1740 that the English novel suddenly arose from the lower form and came to embody, as no other literary form did, the spirit of the age. The glorious work of Richardson and Fielding was followed by that of the two other major novelists of the 18th century, namely Somerset and Sterne. Soon, the whole English literary air was thick with a staringly vast number of novels produced by a lot of writers. Let us consider the important reason for the rise of the novel in 18th century, or also by implication for its spectacular popularity. The social environment, the rise of the middle classes. According to David Dacey, the novel in Inodotama was in a large measure the product of the middle class, appealing to middle class ideal and sensibilities, a patterning of imagined events set against a clearly realized social background and taking its view of what was significant in human behavior from agreed public attitude. In the word of Oliver Elton in it came to express far better than the poetry could do the temper of the age and race. The 18th century is known in the social history of England for the rise of the middle class. With the unprecedented rise in trade and commerce, the English masses were becoming increasingly wealthy, and many hitherto poor people were finding themselves in the rank of respectable burgesses. These novexus riches, N-O-U-V-E-A-U-X, riches were naturally enough desirous of giving sophisticated like their traditional social superior, the landed gentry and nobility. This class of readers had hitherto been neglected by highbrow writers. The literary works previous to the 18th century were almost invariable meant to be the reading of the higher strata of society, only popular literature, such as the ballad created for the lower ranks, and the up and coming middle classes of the 18th century demand some new kind of literature which should be in conformity with their temper and be designed as well to voice their aspiration as to cater for their tastes. England was then becoming a country of small and big traders and shopkeepers, and who has more common sense than a trade of shopkeeper? These people, according to a critic, took little interest in the exaggerated romance of the impossible heroes and the picaresque stories of intrigues and villainy which had interested the upper classes. Some new type of literature was demanded, and this new type must express the new ideal of the 18th century. The value of the importance of the individual life to tell men not about knight or king, but about themselves, about their own thought and motives and struggles and the result of action upon their own characters. This was the purpose of our first novelists. The eagerness with which their chapter were read in England and the rapidity with which their work was copied abroad showed how powerfully a new discovery appealed to the reader everywhere. Not only was the novel a product of the emphasis on the common man, it also was in rapport with the psyche of the middle classes. According to Kazamian in noted comma, there is a deep affinity between the dominant instinct of the middle classes and this branch of literature, the possibilities of which have remained intact. It lent itself better than any other of morality and sentiments. Note comma closed. Right from Richardson and Fielding to the every modern times, the novel has kept up its explicit or implicit purpose of teaching something to the readers. The moral didactic aim of literature was taken for granted in the 18th century. The novel was yet another literary form, like the periodical essay, for example, to teach morality and good conduct to the common people. As regard sentiment, again, most novelists indulge in it. Richardson said the sentimental note so loved of the middle classes, and this note culminated in full orchestration in the highly sentimental novel of Henry Mackenzie, 1743-1831. The Democratic Movement. The 18th century sounded the death knell of old English feudalism and conversely broke down numerous barriers standing between various social classes. With the glorious revolution of 1689 started the era of the ascendancy of the parliament and the forging of the democratic spirit. This process of democratization reached a high water mark in the 18th century. The century of the coffee houses, which were helping the process by nurturing the encouraging the spirit of free and frank discussion. Moreover, in the early years of the century, as has been pointed out by Bonamy Daubry in the literature of the early 18th century, Oxford History of English Literature, there occurred an increasing amalgamation of the two well-defined classes of reader and rich and sophisticated class and the common masses. The democratic movement emphasized the importance of the life and activities of the common people. The need was being felt for a new literary form which, unlike the romance and the tragedy, for instance, should hold a mirror to the life of the common people, concern itself with their problem, and tell them how to live our life better. The new form was the course, the novel, a kind of democratic epic. Richardson, Fielding, Strand, Smollett, and their teeming followers deal chiefly with the life of commoners. The heroines of Richardson's first novel, Pamela, is the maidservant of that name. If it was not the first novel in the history of English literature, it was the least first to represent sympathetically the ethos and tradition of low and middle classes. The Lord Morley says it was landmark of a great social no less than a great literary transition. When all England went mad with enthusiasm over the trials, the virtue, the trumps of a rustic lady's maid. Incidentally, it may be pointed out that in the 18th century, drama to the democratic spirit was predominant in George Lelo's tragedies. The London Merchant of the History of George Branwell, 1731, The Fatal Curiosity, The True Tragedy, 1736, for example, the protagonists are not princes or nobles, but very ordinary people. the ascendancy of realism. The 18th century was imbued with the spirit of realism, and the literature of the age is to a great extent devoid of the enthusiasm element, passion, mysterious suggestiveness, and heady imagination which characterized romantic literature and the man of letters in the 18th century. Whether he was a poet, a periodical essayist, or even a dramatist, believed that for the success of his art, a rational appraisal of reality was an essential prerequisite. The novel was another instrument for the exploration of the representation of social reality. All the novelists of 18th century and the most of their followers in the subsequent century were stark realists and social critics. David Dacey observed in this connection, like the medieval fabliau, also a product of the urban imagination, the novel tended to realism and contemporaneity in the sense that it dealt with people living in the social world known to the writers. Khazamian ever about the novel in inverted comma, after having formally represented allegorical or ideal vision, it tended more and more to become a picture of life. The middle class mind would have with picture real because it has a firm hold upon reality and cannot break itself away from it. Thus, realism will come to find its most favorable field in the novel. The decline of drama. The decline of drama also contributed to the rise of the novel in the 18th century. Drama in the 18th century was no longer a social force as it had been in the age of Elizabeth or even that of the Charles II. The Listening Act of 1737, which was meant to curb such scurrilous political satire as Fielding had leveled in his comedies against Sir Robert Walpole in the ward of Arthur Evans in inverted comma, cut the ivory heart of drama. It did not remain the influential literary form. The reading public desired a new form of satisfy its craving for story and social picture. This craving had its fulfillment with the rise of the novel in the year following 1740. Much had already been done. We certainly agree with Oliver Elton that after 1740, the English novel quickened. However, we have to bear in mind that the growth of the novel was not sudden or unrelated to what had already been done by numerous writers. In fact, before Richardson and Fielding started, the soil had already been laid and manured and even sown. These pioneers of the novel had only to take the last step of, in the process of its growth. Moreover, the climate of their times was the most suitable for this purpose. Among their immediate precedents must be mentioned the name of the Edison, Steele, Defoe, and Swift. Edison and Steele in the Spectator papers concerning Sir Roger de Coverley had provided almost a skeleton novel of the social and domestic kind. Some of the Coverley paper read like so many pieces from a novel, but it is questionable whether Edison and Steele had the real temperament of the novelist. They seem to have been incapable of any sustained effort and introspective analysis, which are the basic requirement for any novelist. However, it can be said to their credit that they did provide same material to work upon the Richardson and Fielding, particularly the latter. Their good humored social satire, their lucid style, their basic human sympathy, their intense observation of their environment, and their sense of episode all were to be the asset of the future novelist. Defoe's deftness and the art of the narrative, his gift of the circumstantial detail, and his unflinching examination of low life had also their admirer among the novelists to come. Defoe himself is not a true novelist, as his characters are psychologically too simple and seldom get involved in complex psychological problems. Swift's Gulliver's Travel had an interesting narrative and some well-attempted verisimilitude features, which were to be the basic requirement of every novel. Thus, in a word, both the material and the method of the novelist were waiting for adoption by a talented writer when Richardson and Fielding appeared on the scene. The novel gave more freedom to the writer than the drama. The rise of the novel man was also due to the fact that this new literary form gave more freedom than says the drama. For the writer, for the performance of the task which the temper of the age imposed upon him. Without question, the drama imposes many stringent curbs upon the writer. He himself has to remain in the background and limit the whole thing within the performing time of about 3 hours. The novelist, on the other hand, can pretend the omniscience and can also intrude upon the scene at any time when he finds the need for it. Further, there is no curve on length. Again, in the 18th century, with a remarkable spurt in the masses of reading public, which no longer remained confined to London, it became impossible for the theatre to cater for the entire public. Hence, the novel came as a welcome substitute of the drama. The freedom of the novel from classical restraint. As we have said in the beginning, the novel had no classical precedent. In this respect, it was quite different from most poetic and dramatic form popular in the 18th century. For instance, if a writer had to write an epic, a pastoral, an ode, or an elegy, he had to look to the classical model of antiquity and belong, as he did, to a new classical age, to respect and follow them. The novel could ignore authority, for no authority exists. Fielding did, in the intercalary chapter of his novel, talk rather pedantically about the ancient and their works. But that was just to placate and the hostile opinion which an altogether new literary form was likely to provoke in that age. The novelist had not to follow but set a tradition. Thus, various poetry, in the words of Kajamian, in the slave of an ancient form, which classicism has carried to a high degree of perfection, the novel is untrammeled and hence a more eligible medium for such free geniuses as Richardson, Fielding, Somlet, and Sterne. The rise of the novel, the rise of the novel. Reason for the rise of the novel in the 18th century, over.